Hey, welcome to Running by Dawn. This is Dawn Pedersen. We are looking at episode 6 today. I got a request for this topic from my Facebook page, Dawn Running, and the topic is injury prevention. Specifically, this follower asked about how do you go from 5 to 10 miles a week to 20, 25 miles a week without getting injured. So I'm going to cover both injury prevention and this specific question today. The title today is Injury Prevention from One Runner to Another. So I'm just going to start off with a disclaimer. I am not a medical doctor. I have no medical training at all. I'm CPR certified, and I have a little bit of training to be a coach at the local high school, but I don't have extensive trainings or for certifications for injury prevention or anything else medical. However, being a dedicated runner myself and coaching others, having my own running be impeded dramatically at different places in my life by injury. And this kind of is a pet topic of mine. It is my number one. Injury prevention for myself, injury prevention for the runners that I coach. It is my number one. If you cannot get to the starting line, you can't get to the finish line, is a famous quote about marathoning. It just if you're sidelined, you're out. Like it is the number one. So there's a disclaimer. I'm not a doctor. I can't give you medical advice. I can tell you the tricks that I've learned and the things that I've found helpful and point you to some resources of what might be helpful if the things that we talk about today aren't enough. Okay. So, in thinking about this topic of injury prevention, I've had a lot of thoughts. Number one is I don't feel qualified to give advice on this topic in a definitive kind of way. I feel very overwhelmed that we have to talk about this topic. Number two, the thing I wanted to focus on first is that injuries are common in the running world. And this is something that I did not know or understand, or no one even told me when I was a young teenager, just getting into running, training with a high school team. I only trained for one summer because I got injured, and then I gave up and quit because I was injured. No one said, hey, injury is normal. It's not the end. We can help you work through it. My coach did send me to a physical therapist, but I kind of felt like I was a lost cause and that, something was wrong with me and the way my body worked, and that it wasn't, up to this intensity that I was putting it through. And so it was really, really kind of discouraging that first injury to just realize that maybe my body didn't want to run. I found that very frustrating and kind of took a step back from running as like a serious goal at that time. I kept doing it, every now and then just because I liked it. But it as far as training and racing, I kind of forgot that as a goal and decided that I probably couldn't achieve those kind of things. Well, I was wrong. And if you've ever had those feelings, you know what I'm talking about. Anyone who's struggled with injury, this is injury prevention, I would say, is the hot topic in running. It is the number one topic. If I love to read a lot of articles on running, I love to read blogs, I love to read books from the library. And so when I go to the section of the library on running, it's my favorite section of the library. I don't read a lot of books, but I read a lot of books on running. Most of the books that I have read have at least some input, a large portion of the book dedicated to injury prevention. And there are also several books on this topic exclusively, injury prevention. These books are written by more of, your expert type. And so if you want to, dive deep into that kind of stuff, I really recommend picking up one of those books. I do not have a favorite book on injury prevention. I do not have a favorite method for injury prevention. I have some tools, I have some tricks, I have some things I will share with you. The other thing, it's the number one hot topic, right? But it's also the elephant in the room. Right? If you're struggling with an injury as a runner or a potential injury, it is like almost hush hush. For example, on my cross country team, if someone has an injury, there's two types of runners with injuries. There's at least two. There's the type that is very vocal, very, for lack of a better word, whiny about their injury and will tell me over and over again, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. Okay, that's one type of runner. Those are usually, not always, but usually my less dedicated runners are that type, or just my really honest runners. Okay. My more focused runners are usually gonna do the opposite. They're not gonna tell me that they're injured. Okay. And I have seen this with runners, older runners as well, beyond high school, that we kind of hide it. We hide it from maybe our running friends, we hide it from our family, and we try to hide it from ourselves, right? So if, like I've got some knee pain, I'm going to justify that it's not that bad, or it only hurts when I'm running, or I can still walk. Like I've you know what I mean? Like you just it's so I would say for me and for a lot of runners that a running injury is more emotionally traumatizing than it is physically traumatizing. And the reason being is it's at least for me, it's like your whole world, your goals, the things you've been working towards could all be brought to an abrupt end. It's like the world is going to crumble right before your eyes if you can't get this under control. Maybe you're working towards your first marathon and you're dealing with an injury, and all of a sudden the weeks and months that you put in are going to be for nothing. And it is very emotionally taxing to deal with a physical injury, or a potential one, something that you just don't know. Okay. So I'm gonna share with you some things that I've learned. I have been a very injury prone runner. Now I said running injuries are common, but they're not common for everyone. I know a lot of runners that can run and run and run and run and run and run and not deal with very many injuries. They're pretty rare. I know other runners, especially, some of the kids on my cross country team, that they like take two steps and their shins are hurting, and they're always injured. I call them, I let them know you're more injury prone. So we have to do things to try to combat that. Okay. And so there are some things that I do for myself personally, and there are some things that I do for my team to try to address injuries when they're really, really new, or prevent them altogether. And then I'll talk a little bit about, well, I have, I now I have an injury. What do I do? What do I do now? Okay. So, number one is you're going to want to warm up and cool down on your runs. Okay. So, Just if you're just getting into running, go ahead and walk for 5 to 10 minutes at the beginning and the end. I found that I can take a little longer warm up and a little shorter cool down, and I'm fine. But if I skip the warm up, especially the warm up, then everything feels weird. Okay. I live at the top of a hill, and if I take off down my hill first thing, that's quite jarring on my body. So I usually walk down the hill first, and not because it's a steep hill, but because I haven't like gotten my body moving and warmed up yet. Or I'll take another route that takes me a little bit away from the hill before I go down, and then my body's ready to take on that bigger challenge of a steep downhill. So it's really important to get that warm up. And if you're, like I said, if you're new to running and you're just getting into a run walk, or just 30 minutes running, then do your warm up with a walk. If and maybe then like jog for the next minute or two, before you start like your 30 minute run. And if you've been running for a while, you're going out, for a longer run or a faster run, you're going to want to do an easier, a pretty easy pace for your warm-up. Okay. And that's going to get everything, loosen up, feeling good. Okay. Something that we do, I don't do personally as much, but we do as a cross-country team, is we then after our jog we do some warm-ups, we do some dynamic exercises. We do it's really I mean it's a form of stretching, but it's not like sit down and stretch your hamstring. It's still active and moving, just like the easy run is. So we do high knees, we do I could tell you what they're called, but I don't know if those are the real names. We do toy soldier, where you kind of kick out your leg and touch your hand, some big kicks. We do, what did I say? High knees, call them butt kickers, just some more active things to get everything moving. If you're doing some speed work, I recommend doing a few 100s at a quicker pace before you go right into your intervals after your warm up. Okay. The dynamic exercises are great. I don't know if they're necessary. We use them as a team, and I also really like the team building that happens during that time. So I don't know. I'm keeping it in my program because that's the time that like as a whole team we like talk and joke, and it's a great way to connect as a team at the beginning. But I think there is some benefit to that dynamic stretching at the beginning. You don't want to do static stretching, which is sit down and do your butterflies or your calf stretches or just that really slow stretching. You don't want to do that as a warm up because that number one, it if you do it after your run, then all of a sudden you're cooled down again. And number two is you don't want to put that kind of strain on your muscles that early on in your workout. So leave your static stretching for after your cool down. Okay, then you can do your flamingos and all of your good stretching after your cool down. Okay, so warm up, cool down, stretching. The number one thing that I use for injury prevention is for myself and for my team is foam rolling. I talked about this in a previous episode. If you don't have a foam roller and you're a runner, whether you're new or not, get a foam roller. They are crucial. And I'll tell you a little story. I was helping one of my kids get ready for their upcoming sports season. And He got up to a 10K, and that was the goal. And he did really good all through, several weeks of going up to that goal. And then he did the 10K, and it went fine. It was unofficial. We just went out and we did one together. And then it was a week. It was supposed to be like a lighter week before his sports season started. And the weirdest thing happened. Of course, his knee started hurting and it was really messed up for days. Like he tried to do a couple easy runs that week and he's like, "It just hurts, Mom. It hurts." I'm like, "Okay, well, there's no point in killing yourself right before you start your season." And I kept on telling him, "It'd be foam rolled." And he said, "Yeah, I did. It doesn't help. Doesn't help." So finally, he got to first day of practice, couldn't practice the way he wanted to. And I said, "Well, when you get home, go ahead and foam roll." I handed him the foam roller and I said, "Foam roll your hamstrings." "Okay, foam roll my hamstrings." "Okay, foam roll your sides," which is the IT band on the side there, just the side of your leg. Okay. And he foam rolled one side, the side that the knee wasn't hurting, and then he foam rolled the other side. And that boy was screaming bloody murder. His IT band was so tight and so messed up that it killed to foam roll. And this is not uncommon. If you have really tight muscles and you start with foam rolling, it is quite uncomfortable, even to the point of painful. But so I had him start foam rolling his tight IT band 3 times a day. And it only takes a minute or two to do that. And he's doing much better. He hasn't, it's been 3 days and he's feeling much better. This is why I foam roll. This is why I have the kids on my team foam roll. This is why I have my personal kids foam roll. It really is amazing. So it does more than stretch. A stretch is just going to kind of pull on it. What it does is, as you're rolling, it's breaking down that scar tissue and those tight muscles. And it's not the same as massage. It's similar to like a deeper sports massage that elite athletes get. Okay. It's your cheap sports massage. Okay. So get yourself a foam roller. And if you're having any tightness or anything that feels like it's pulling, then foam roll and find out where that tightness is coming from. Okay. I'm not gonna, there's so much in this topic. If we have time, I'll go back and tell you about some of the common running injuries, and we'll address those separately. But I want to get you to the basic, how do you avoid this stuff? Okay, the next one is strength training. Okay, there are weak spots for runners. Runners run, the same thing over and over and over and over again. Other sports, football, basketball, soccer, volleyball, tennis has variety, right? They're moving sideways, they're moving backwards, they're spinning around. Running is just like one foot in front of the other. Maybe you're spinning, I mean, not spinning, maybe you're running in circles a little bit on a track. But there's not a lot of variation in the movement. And what happens with runners commonly is that there's an imbalance in the muscles. So the hamstrings and quads are our big power muscles, maybe some glutes as well, especially if you do a lot of hills. Those are our power muscles for running. Hamstrings, I said quads, I meant calves. Hamstrings, calves, and glutes. Those are all used in running. Your quads don't get a lot of work. The side muscles along the side of your legs, is it obliques? Is that what they're called? They get like nothing. We don't go side to side as runners. And those are like your support muscles. So we often see a lot of injuries related to, like I was telling you with my son, to this IT band. Okay, and so there's some strength training that you can do to focus on problem areas. And I will probably put up on my Facebook page a little kind of cheat sheet of what some of those exercises are. It's hard to describe what they are, but I'll at least give a list so you guys can look those up and start implementing them. But I do certain exercises with my team. When I'm having some issues myself, I do certain exercises to strengthen, that outer leg, as well as some other areas. So I can try to put together a little cheat sheet for you on that one. The other kind of exercise that I do is balance exercises. Runners are notoriously out of balance, and maybe other people too, but I've done a lot of balance work with my cross country runners, and by the end of the season, their balance has improved significantly. That's really significant for cross country runners and also trail runners, because there's just you need a lot of footwork when you don't run on the road or a track. You need to be able to have that balance as you're running over trees and dirt and those more technical runs. And so those balance exercises are super important for not only injury prevention, but also for fall protection, right? I've had lots of falls. I might do an episode about all the falls I've had and how to combat that issue. So those are kind of the things that I do and that I recommend for injury prevention. And then the next group of things I'm going to recommend is kind of the way that you want to run, like your workout plans. Okay. And there's a lot of things that we can do right that will help with injury prevention. There's a lot of things we can do wrong that will increase our chance of injury. And see if any of these resonate with you when you think about injuries that you've had. Okay. So number one, consistency. Okay. When you are doing a running plan, you need to be consistent. If your plan says 3 days a week and you decide that you're going to take Monday through Thursday off, and then you're going to cram your runs into the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you have just increased your chance of injury. Okay. If it says 3 days a week, that doesn't mean just shove it all in one thing. That is a disaster. Okay. It also is a disaster if your inconsistency looks like this. I ran 2 days this week. I ran 4 days the week before. I ran 1 day the week before. I ran, 5 days the week before. That is just torture on your body. Your body doesn't know what to do. How to, adapt if you're not giving it something consistent. Throw your body some consistency so that it knows how to build and how to rebuild. Which brings me to my next point, is recovery. Okay. When we go out and we work out, we break our body down, especially muscles. Okay. Break the muscles down, then the muscles rebuild stronger. But in order to have that rebuild, we need to give our bodies rest. You can do this a couple ways. Okay. You can let your body rest with actual off days. which is what I'd recommend for newer runners, is having off days. Okay. So I've said this before, I'll say it again. 3 days a week is what I recommend for new runners. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Those are some examples. You'd want to put your most intense run either right before your recovery days or right after, like your 2 days. So I usually, or historically, I did Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. I do my long run on Saturday because that one takes a little bit longer. And then by time Tuesday, I'm actually feeling pretty good again with those 2 days off. So that's really important, those recovery days. The other way that you can do recovery is you can do lighter days. Okay. So maybe I normally go out and run 6 miles. Well, on my recovery day, I might just run three, maybe even two. I'm going to run a shorter amount and I'm going to do it at an easy pace. Okay. It's called an active recovery day when you're still moving, but it feels like an off day. I've done this lately, for a long, long, long time. I only ran 3 days a week. More recently, I am running 4 or 5, maybe even 6 days a week, and I can do fine with those lighter recovery days as my off days. Okay. It's not an off, it's an active recovery. Okay. I only recommend that to runners who have been running for a long time. But make sure you're not doing the back to back to back hard, intense, long workouts. Pace it out. Give yourself some recovery and some lighter days to, give your body time to heal from those more intense workouts. The other thing, this is really, really, really common advice, is that you don't want to increase your mileage quickly. So the rule of thumb is 10% per week and no more than 10% for any workout. So if I go out and let's say I'm running 30 miles a week right now and I want to increase it, I would, using the 10% rule, only add 3 more miles in the week. That's not very much. When you look at 3 or 4 running days, that's only increasing those days by one mile here and there. It's really not a lot. That's a really slow increase. So let's go back to the question that I got. How do you go from 5 to 10 miles to 20 to 25? And that's how you do it. So if you're at 10 miles right now, use the 10% rule. Next week, if you want to ramp it up, you can go to 11. That's it. Okay. Don't go to 12. Don't go to 15. Just do 11. And if your body's handling that well, then you can increase another mile the week after, right? Go to 12 miles. At first, that will be really, really gradual build. Okay. And as your mileage increases, you can add the, if you're at 30 miles, your body can handle another 3 miles. I've kind of built my own training program for, well, I've been helping other people, both my team and then individuals with training programs. And so I decided that I should probably build my own for the training that I'm doing right now. So I built my own marathon training program right now, and I'm doing something I've never done before. I'm going higher mileage than I've ever done before because I've found, things that have helped with injury prevention, and I'm not injured all the time. It's so awesome. I still have I've had for several years some knees that pop and they kind of get pulled, but I know how to foam roll and I know how to stretch and I know how to baby those knees a little bit. That I've been, my highest mileage week recently on my, Actually, I went and did a marathon, not a marathon, a 20 miler with my husband on my birthday, and it was awesome. And that week I was up to 42 miles. That is unheard of for me. I was usually in the range of 20 to 25, more like 30, at peak marathon training. And that week I hit 42. So a little less than double what some of my common weeks have been. But I've done it really, really gradually. I've been working and building up for several months to those higher mileages using that 10% rule. And another trick that I liked from I think it was from Hal Higdon's book just titled The Marathon. And he recommended in his training programs, and this is something I've implemented for myself and for others, is having a lighter week. And I've seen that in a lot of training programs. They'll jump up and they'll jump down and then they'll jump up again further for these bigger training programs for half marathons and marathons. But he explained it in such a way that I was like, oh, so it's like an actual recovery week. So you build in 1 week, 1 week a month or something that is a lighter load. So you're basically telling your body, hey, work hard for 3 weeks and then you get a break. And I used this again for my recent marathon training, and I was up to, I did like a 14 mile and a 16 mile, and then I had a rest week that I went back down to, I think I did a 14, 16, and then I would jump back down to a 12, and I had some other runs shorter that week, and my mileage just kind of went. Now, if you do that, you don't have to slowly work your way up 10% rule. It's just a lighter week, so you can start where you were before that. On the next week, I ran an 18, and then I ran a 20, and that week, coming back into that 18, I felt phenomenal. I felt way better than I had at the 16 the week or 2 weeks before because I had given my body a break. Okay. So that's an injury prevention tool, but it's also an energy conserving tool. Like I came back physically and emotionally a lot stronger after I gave my body a recovery week. So that's also a good way to do it. For newer runners, I do not recommend that you introduce speed work or tempo runs for a while. I would say if you're just starting out, running at an easy pace for 3 months, maybe even 6 months before you get into tempo runs and speed workouts and that kind of thing is recommendable. Because what I've seen with newer runners, I wish that I could implement this better with my high schoolers, and maybe I will. But the new kids do not, their bodies do not handle the speed work very well. I'll tell you a story. think it was kind of a revelation to me. So I took a group of runners to train on this hill, and I had several runners. This was the peak of our training season. I had several runners that were struggling and flirting with injury. And the intensity of our training, we have like 12 weeks to get these kids to their max. It is way more than I recommend for any other runners. We usually don't have like a season that we have to do all these races. And I can't even believe what these high schoolers do. They race twice a week sometimes, or it's intense. I would never train like that as an individual, I would not do race after race after race. Like, that's so hard on your body. But that is the sport. And so it's been really interesting as a coach to try to figure out how to navigate that. But back to my story. So we are doing this hill workout, and we are off a little ways away from our normal training grounds in a new spot and on this hill. And I said to my group of runners that were going off in this hill, well, I was gonna stay with the group that was struggling with some injuries and give them a different workout. But I got the ones that were healthy started first. And then I looked, I said to that group, I said, now, if there's anyone that hasn't been on this hill yet, can you show them how to navigate it? We're kind of in the woods and it's a little bit tricky. And I looked at that group and there was no one new in that group. All of my new ones were my injured ones. Okay. The kids that weren't injured were returning athletes from the previous season or multiple seasons. My kids that were injured were not my experienced runners. They were my new runners, with the exception of one or two kids who are super injury prone, like I said, that there is a variation in athletes and how prone they are to injury. But they were new, okay? And so that was eye-opening to me as a coach to realize that and it didn't matter what level they were at. It was my fastest runners and my slowest runners that were returning athletes headed up this hill for this intense workout. And it was my fastest runners and my slowest runners at the bottom of the hill with me doing an easy workout because they were injured. It didn't matter their speed. What mattered was their experience. Their bodies hadn't adapted yet to the kind of training we were doing. And I'm not talking about a few weeks. I'm talking about year after year, the body has, for those other kids, had adapted to the kind of training that we were doing. So, back to my point. For that reason, I do not recommend jumping right into speed work, tempo runs, fartleks. Like, there's Yasso 800s. There's all sorts of names for, but this idea of going, at a quicker pace, just ease into it. And your chances of success are much greater. You've got time. Okay. Your body has time to adjust. Give it 3 months, give it 6 months. If you are noticing with the easy training and the easy days that you're still, struggling with some injury, don't add that stuff. Okay. Don't add that other stuff until you can handle the easy days. You can gain amazing fitness by just running at an easy pace. And the really cool thing is that your easy pace will get faster and faster and faster, even without intense runs. Those easy miles, your body will adjust, your body will learn how to be more efficient, you will get faster even when you're not, killing your body with speed work. There are places for speed work. I will talk about that more on another episode, and it is valuable. However, this is the first thing to cut out if you are doing, if you are struggling with injury. The other thing, well, I kind of addressed this, is you should only race, and this goes back to the same thing, this faster pace. You should only race as often as your body can handle. So if you notice that you can go out and run a 5K once a month and you feel really great and you like doing that, and then that's fine. That's great. But if you've noticed, like, I can't handle a race every month, maybe every 2 months is a good, time for a race, or maybe every 6 months is when I like to do a race. I've never done, well, one time I did more than one marathon in a year, but that level of training has been too intense for my body so far. I am finding that I'm handling things a lot better this round. So I have in the back of my mind, I'd like to run two marathons this year. And we'll see what happens. My husband, he's had some injuries off and on, but he handles this higher mileage. He does not do any speed work, by the way. None at all. I always talk to him about, you can do some speed work so you can work on your times, and he doesn't do any at all. And he's done 18 marathons now. Some of them official, most of them just on his own because he likes just doing that. He did one last weekend. And so, his body can handle those long miles a lot better than mine can. But he also doesn't do speed work, so maybe there's something to that. So, cut out the speed work. That'd be my first suggestion. And only race as often as your body can handle, okay? So, back to my story about the cross country runners on the hill. I will tell you the beginning of that story. We had a race mid-season, like I said, as we were approaching our peak training, most intense workouts, the longest miles, I mean, the longest runs, the most miles. We were in that part of the season. And I had one race where there were several runners that didn't travel with us because they weren't filling up to running. They were dealing with some injuries. And there were a couple more that did travel with us, but they weren't planning on running because of some injuries. And then I got to the starting line with one of our groups of runners, with our JV boys. And there were like two more that pulled out last second and said, I can't run, I'm injured. And I was like, what is happening to this team? They are falling apart. Okay. And that was really concerning to me as a coach because, like I said, my number one goal is to keep them uninjured. And I realized that it wasn't working. What we were doing was not meeting that goal. And so the very next day at practice after this meet, I looked at that group and I said, you guys are not doing the normal workout. We are on Operation Recovery. Okay. And we took it easy. Some of them walked, some of them ran easy. We skipped the speed workouts. We skipped the hill workouts. We just eliminated it all. If they were up to running easy miles, I let them run easy miles. If they weren't, then they were walking. They were also doing strength training. They were doing foam rolling. They were getting, ice from our sports med guy. They were going and talking to him. It was like this big thing. I usually run with our team. A lot of the miles that they run, I run with them. But that week, I didn't run very much at all. All I did was focus on one runner at a time and trying to get those kids better. So the really cool thing was that and in the next few weeks was our biggest meet of the season, our league meet, which is our qualifying meet for districts, and then districts goes on to qualify for state. And all of those runners ran that race. No one pulled out. Everyone ran that race. There were one or two runners that were still injured, but most of them with our, with our just, I literally, it was like 1 or 2 weeks that we made some adjustments and then we had them take it easy and that they were still running. They didn't have to like quit, They didn't have to take 6 months off. But as soon as I saw as a coach that they weren't getting better with doing the same thing, we adjusted plans and they were able to return, to full workouts. There were a couple that left the season not doing so well, and we'll try to do better with them next year. I think they're all coming back next year. And so, I guess I just mentioned that because as a runner, I've had a lot of experiences with injury, and I've gone to several doctors over the year to talk about running injuries. And the number one thing that they've said to me is, well, you have to stop running. excuse me, I don't want to stop running. Like that, those are the worst words you can say to a dedicated runner. To someone who doesn't do it just for exercise, someone who does it because they love it, you have to stop running. Or even someone who does it for exercise, and that's really important to them in their life. You have to stop running. How many of you have heard those words? You have to stop running related to an injury. Those words are like daggers to my heart. You have to stop running. And what I found is that this is not always correct. The doctors that have told me that I have to stop running have been general doctors. And so if you are struggling with an injury that is not going away with, the things that we've talked about, and it's gone from weeks to, I mean, days to weeks to, a month or two, like then it's time to get some extra help. And so you might go talk to like your regular doctor. But if they tell you you have to stop running, I would not say that that is an ultimatum. What I found is that general doctors do not have training on runners. I don't think that's a course that they take. Runners run 101, right? And so what I've found to be successful is to talk to someone who has running experience and running training. So I'll tell you about the injury that I had in 2019. I was fairly injured for 6 months, and I went to the doctor and they told me I had to stop running. And I did. I was in so much pain. I had ignored my injury for so long that I woke up with just shooting pain on the inside of my knee often. I was in immense pain to the point that it woke me up, and I was still trying to run through it. So, do I think the doctor was right? Well, probably so, because it just wasn't getting better. But what I found is that just sitting around on my butt not only drove me crazy mentally, but also didn't fix the problems that I was having. And so I finally was able to get in with a physical therapist. And the physical therapist put me on a treadmill and watched me run. And she told me some things that I'd never heard again. I mean, heard before from a regular doctor. She told me that I needed to work on my foot turnover, how fast I was running, my cadence. She told me how to run more on the front of my feet instead of on my heel. Okay. She taught me about running form. And I was kind of blown away. I didn't know there was a proper way to run necessarily. I'd read some running books and had some tips, but when we have bad form in our running, we can actually do damage to our bodies and impact it in ways that don't need to be. So that's what I learned from that doctor. And she gave me some exercises. Their office was swamped. And this was when I lived in Japan, and it was the military hospital, and it was impossible to get that first appointment. And there was no come back and see me next time. It was just like, you had your appointment, here's your exercises, good luck at home. So those exercises helped, and that working on my cadence and working on my foot strike really helped. And I was able to get, past this injury to the point that I could run. Oh, that was beautiful. It was so nice. However, for the next year or two after that, I still had like some issues that were happening on and off with that knee. And then, of all things, I fell right as I was getting back into running, and I slammed the other knee on some sidewalk really hard. And I hit it was bone deep. I don't know if I fractured the knee a little bit, but it was at least bruised bone and it hurt for a long, long time. And so both my knees were kind of screwed up at that point, but not to the point that it prevented me completely from running. So then a year or so later, we were living back in the United States, and I went to, again, my primary care doctor, and I said, I'm struggling with these knees. I just need them to get better. And she said, well, have you considered just not running? And yes, I've considered it. I've considered it every time I come to a doctor and they tell me I have to stop running. And I said, I don't want that to be the answer. And she said, okay, well, we can send you in to a physical therapist. And I said, great. I said, can I go anywhere I want? And she said, well, you could, if your insurance covers it, it's fine. I said, great. I'm going to call around and I'm going to find my physical therapist. So I got on the phone. I called like every office in town and I asked this question, do you have a doctor that specializes in runners? And some of them said, no, not really. And one said, oh, yeah, we see all sorts of things. And I said, no, I need to know if you have a doctor that specializes in runners. And she was kind of like, yeah, kind of. Okay. And I was like, well, that might be an option. And then I called this one office and I asked that question, do you have a doctor that specializes in runners? And the receptionist on the phone said, we do. We have someone who loves to work with runners. I don't know if she has availability right now. Let me check. She got up, got put on hold or whatever. She went and checked it out. She came back and she said, I think we can get you in. And I was so excited. So I met with this physical therapist. She was a runner herself. Just like the receptionist promised, she was very enthusiastic. And what she did was amazing. She didn't tell me to stop running. And I said, can I keep running? She said, sure, you can keep running. She taught me that the pulling on my knee was not hurting my knee, but that it was causing, that pain from the pulling, but it wasn't going to damage my knee to keep running on it. There wasn't, it was the tendons around the knee that were hurt and strained. It wasn't the actual knee itself. The joint was fine. And so she gave me exercises. She's the one who taught me about foam rolling and gave me the tools to know how to get out there and run. And while I was seeing her, while I was in recovery, I ran a half marathon. I might have run two. I don't know. I was training for this race series that I've mentioned before, which was a, 10K, a half marathon. And then not too long after I saw her, I ran my fifth marathon. And so I guess my point is, if you think you're doomed, don't give up. Like, there's a lot that you can do at home. And when you've exhausted your resources, when the injury isn't going away, there are resources that you can find. If a doctor tells you you can't run ever again, then get a second opinion. Find a runner. Okay. Find a runner doctor or someone who appreciates and knows about running. And I promise you that they will be able to help you work through that. There are, in bigger towns, there are clinics that specialize in these kind of things, sports injuries, sports medicine, even I've seen even like dedicated running clinics, which is super awesome. But physical therapy, I swear by it. They really know what they're doing. Their goal is to get people healed and get them out the door. Their goal is not to have them come in for the next, 2, 3, 5, 10 years. That's not their goal. Their goal is to help you get things fixed now and then get you out the door. And so sometimes I still go back to some of those exercises. I use some of them with my team and I continue to learn all of that I can on that kind of stuff, to help my team and to help myself to stay healthy and strong. There are also, like I mentioned, lots of good books, lots of websites. Some of the books that I've looked at have like detailed explanations of different injuries and exercises you can do for them. There are weak spots on runners. There's weak spots on you. There's, weirdness in all of our form, and we're doing it wrong. And so look into those kind of things. Find out what your quirks are and how you can work on it. And you're gonna do great. So don't give up with this idea of staying healthy and strong. I am one of the most injury prone people I know, and if I can do it, you can do it too. All right, we'll talk to you later. Bye.